This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello everyone, I am recording. This is the first ever episode of Triple Captain Extra with me, Luke Jurdy. Basically, we've decided as a team to change the format of the pod this year with much shorter, snappier episodes focused on who to bring into your team, who to take out of your team, and who to captain. So each episode will be between 15 to 20 minutes long. I have a little bit more time, particularly at the start of the season before my baby arrives in October. So I'm going to be doing a few extra episodes for our regular listeners who like a bit more content than just 15 to 20 minutes. And also for those like me who are really addicted to the game, obsessed with FPL, we love football and we really would like to get into the top 10k of FPL every season. Whilst that's not always possible, I believe that obviously FPL is a mixture of luck and skill, but I think skill is a massive part of it. And I think going into as much detail as possible with stats and the eye test and the way players are playing and picking those players that are about to explode is really, really important in FPL. So this will be a bit of extra content to give you a little window into my thought processes and how I pick my teams. I'll hopefully be doing a few game week reviews. I often watch Match of the Day and write notes on each game. I could do a few Match of the Day reviews. This particular episode is my Community Shield review of the Leicester versus Man City game, and a few little extra issues that we didn't discuss on the pod just now that I'm toying with my game week one team. If you want to get involved in Triple Captain Extra, you can find me on Twitter at Luke Jurdy. We're at FPL Triple Cap on Twitter, but that account is now run by our friend the Golden Cobra. My Twitter is, of course, ran by me. So if you'd like to send a few questions in, I can answer them on the pod. We can get the discussion going. There's also our Discord channel, our Triple Captain Discord channel to join if you want that kind of regular WhatsApp style FPL chat. You don't have to have the notifications on, of course. There's plenty of good chat going on there ahead of the season, and I'm sure that will continue as the season goes on. We're all kind of rating each other's drafts. Ben, myself, and Rich are all on the Discord if you want that kind of direct access and direct chat to us about FPL. I'm also going to start another mini league called the Triple Captain Extra Mini League. So if you're listening and you want to join that and be part of our kind of geeky FPL group, more geeky FPL group than the casual player, then please join that as well. Hopefully we'll have a bit of fun with that. I'm sure Roger Booth is listening to this. Shout out to you, mate. He won our Triple Captain Fantasy League last season, so I'm sure he'll be joining that league. And I realise that I don't think we've actually given him a proper shout out since he won it. So congratulations to him. See, this is what's so good about these extra episodes. I can just ramble and I won't be edited out. As I say, these episodes will be unedited. I'm just going to upload them straight to whatever I need to upload them to. They should be available on all podcast formats once Ben tells me how to do it, but there won't be any editing, there won't be any kind of introductions or music or anything like that. It's just me chatting FPL, just an ego trip basically for me to just talk football. So let's kick off. So FA Community Shield review. It was an interesting game. First of all, just information that we gained from the lineups. Of course, Wesley Fofana, sadly, who would have been a great 4.5 million pick for our teams this season, is out injured after horrendous leg break in a friendly. He's probably going to be out for most of the season. What that means is Amarte of 4 million could be an option in our FPL squads. And whilst, of course, we'd all prefer Fofana to be out on that pitch and in our FPL teams, Amarte at 4 million maybe could provide some value. Now, he started in a back three in the Community Shield with Soyuncu and Ndidi, the other two. Now, I'm not sure Leicester fans were too happy with Ndidi playing centre defence, but that's what happened. It looks like Rodgers is going to stick with that formation with three at the back, with two wing backs. Now, the wing backs were Bertrand, who's 5 million, and Ricardo Pereira, former FPL favourite Ricardo Pereira at the right wing back position. Bertrand at 5 million could be appealing. He was taking some corners, but it looks like Castagna is fit and ready to come back into the team. So I'd caution against bringing in Ryan Bertrand. Keep an eye on Leicester's transfer activity. You'd expect Amate to start the first few games if Leicester don't buy anyone. Is he the best 4 million option? Well, now that Robertson's injured for Liverpool, is Tsimikas, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is he the best 4 million option? Is he going to start for Liverpool? Suddenly we've got two, maybe three, with the Norwich guy at 4 million. Potential options for our benches. I'm presuming if you're bringing in Tsimikas, that could be a triple up on Liverpool and a double up on Liverpool defence with TAA. Really interesting to keep an eye on there. Other big news from the Leicester lineup was that Iheanacho started on the bench like most of the preseason. So Vardy is still the number one striker. Will he score more goals without Iheanacho? I'm seriously considering him, but it really kind of ruins the balance of my team if I have him in with Salah and Fernandes. I'm still considering it, but chances are he won't make my starting lineup. Harvey Barnes is one to watch out for. Him and Perez both started. You'd expect Iosi Perez to be rotated. It looks like Barnes is going to be favoured, and it looks like this one up front is going to be the formation to start with for Leicester. So Iheanacho kind of has to come out of our squads because of him being a rotation risk. Harvey Barnes could come in. Is he a rotation risk? He's only just come back from injury. There's those questions to be asked, but he looked lively in this game, as I'll talk about. With City, Man City, there was a lot less information to be gained from their lineup. They've still got lots of players to come back from wherever they are, whether they're injured or whether they were at the Euros or whether they're Olympics. Edison wasn't there, Zinchenko, Sterling, John Stones. There's a lot of players to come back. De Bruyne and Foden are both injured at the moment. Most nailed player is going to be Mr. Reliable Ruben Diaz, you'd think. He started in the Community Shield. He looked solid. If you're going to go for a City defender, if you're going to go for a City player, it kind of has to be Ruben Diaz for me. Jack Grealish was on the bench and came on, which we'll talk about. And Twitter favourite Mahrez started with Torres, who is 7 million, playing as a striker. Now, I think Ilkay Gundogan could be the most nailed attacking asset with Kevin De Bruyne out. And if we remember when KDB was out last time, that's when Gundogan started scoring all his goals. He stepped up massively. He took one of the direct free kicks in this game. Mahrez took the other one. So potential to be on set pieces. And two other noticeable starters for City were Edozie and Palmer, who aren't even on FPL at the moment. They both started the game, youngsters. So really proving that they've got a lot of players to come back here, Man City. So they were the lineups. You can probably hear me turning the page in my notes there. That's how raw this podcast is. From the first half of the game, Harvey Barnes and Gundogan looked the most lively for me. I was thinking about both, especially Barnes. Gundogan, perhaps 0.5 million too expensive to start with. He went close with a free kick in the early exchanges. But Leicester were probably the pick of the team. From that first half. Vardy had a nice shot from range. He looks hungry as ever. And there was a great chance for Iosi Perez after good work from Pereira down the right. Vardy was then really close, combining well with Harvey Barnes. Basically looked like he'd scored when he hit the post towards the end of the first half after terrific work from Maddison and Barnes. Vardy should have scored. He looks hungry. What's interesting about Vardy is he had the most big chances of all the players in FPL last season. Is he worth consideration, or has he lost that clinical finishing ability? I don't know. And again, he's probably going to be a wait and see for me. That price point is so tricky to bring him in. But with Lukaku around and Kane lurking as well, could still get his move to City, of course. There's easier switches for someone like Jamie Vardy. It's just choosing how many premiums to go with at the start. At the moment, I've only got two, Salah and Fernandes. Last season, I started with three. So it is something I'm looking at. Vardy could be such a good differential to start the season with. There's not many people will have him in. But it's just whether he gets that finishing back up to scratch. Harvey Barnes also looked very dangerous in that first half. Second half, Mahrez stepped up a little bit, but overall he was quite quiet despite having five shots. Actually watching the game, this is where your kind of stats and eye test need to be mirrored, I think, in FPL. Because if you're watching the game, it can look slightly different. Like if I look at the stats after the Community Shield and see that Mahrez had five shots, I'm thinking, wow, Mahrez is back. Mahrez is going to be firing at the start of the season. He's probably going to be starting those first few games. I'm going to get really hyped up and excited. Watching the game, he really wasn't that impressive at all. I think even the commentator said that he was flagging towards the end. And I wrote here that he's not done much to convince me to put him in my game week one squad. That's where the eye test is really important, as well as looking at stats. Yes, you can play the game of FPL just by looking at stats, and you probably do quite well, but eye test is really important for me. And that game kind of convinced me that Mahrez, with that first fixture of Spurs, second fixture in Norwich is great, but could he be rotated then? We just don't know with Pep, and for me it's too much of a risk to have Mahrez in. Mark Southerns was making an interesting point on the effort Fantasy Football Scout about having Mahrez in his team, and he was saying, you know, I think I'll put him in for the first two fixtures and then I'll take him out for Son in game week three. Whilst I like that, it's very short term thinking, and anything could happen to your team. You know, there might be injuries, as we've seen, there might be COVID stuff. Suddenly you need to make a change, which isn't the luxury change of Mahrez to Son, and you're left with Mahrez in your team, and Son, and then he's rotated for whoever. You know, City, you've got all those players ready to come in. And as we know, Pep always rotates his players. Mahrez will be a transfer down the line. So it depends how you like to play the game, whether you like to bring players in and out, whether you like to hop on and off players. It's entirely up to you how you play the game. And I'm certainly not going to say to anyone, don't get Mahrez. But that's not, I don't want to be keeping him in for a 2 week punt to transfer him out, to plan to transfer him out at that price. For me, I can spread the wealth a little bit better. So those are my thoughts on Mahrez. Gundogan had another shot. I think he had four during the game, which is very promising. And it looked like he was making some runs into the box. I think he also came off early, which means he'll surely start against Spurs. I think he was their first sub off for Rodri. So Gundogan does interest me. And we know he's got that pedigree from last season. We know he's got that ability. And what I liked about him was he was making those runs into the box, albeit, you know, came off after 65 minutes. He does look hungry for goals, and he probably knows he's got to step up when De Bruyne is not in the team. Foden's not in the team either at the moment. Could it be Gundogan's time? He's definitely in my thoughts. But as I said, probably just that 0.5 mil, a little bit too expensive when there's other players like Rafinha, who's a million less and is going to be more nailed perhaps. But I do think out of all the attackers, Gundogan is the one to watch for me for City. Grealish came on after 65 minutes. He was playing left wing. Pep's comments suggest that he's going to play all over. Also suggests he's probably going to be rotated. Do you take that risk? I won't be taking it at the start of the season, but Grealish for City, I mean, he's going to produce assists, isn't he? He's going to produce goals. Very, very exciting option. 8 million is a pretty good price for him at City. We shall see. Little note on Harvey Barnes. As I said, really, really impressive in this game. He came off for Iheanacho. Could he be a rotation risk? That's my only thing with Barnes. He's just back from injury. There are players like Albrighton, Perez, Iheanacho to come on, Daka to come on. He's probably going to be one of those players that gets subbed. Then you're reliant on he needs to score points within that first 60, 70 minutes of a game. Do I want someone more nailed than Harvey Barnes? I'm talking myself out of him. I really liked him in this game. He's most likely going to be in my team. Any other news from this game? Torres, I thought, was very quiet. Interesting option, of course, if he's going to be starting as striker. But again, rotation risk there, as all City's players are, apart from Ruben Diaz. And I would suggest Gundogan's not going to be as much of a rotation risk either. Of course, towards the end of the game, Nathan Ake gave away a penalty and Iheanacho won it and he scored it. Leicester looked better. They had a good game, but Leicester looked better when Dakar and Iheanacho came on. How long is it going to be before Iheanacho plays his way back into Brendan Rodgers' thoughts? Because he certainly doesn't deserve to be benched at the start of the season. He was their top scorer last year. But obviously Rodgers has got a lot of love for Vardy and he likes playing with one up top. So it remains to be seen. But if Iheanacho carries on, it'll only be a matter of time before he's back in that team, I think. Both teams look pretty solid at the back. Again, I think with Ruben Diaz, you've got chances of clean sheets. You've got a few chances at goals, but he's not as much of a threat as, say, John Stones. But he's nailed. If you want a set-and-forget defender at £6 million from Man City, just get him in your team and just watch those points tick over. You know, similar to Van Dijk for Liverpool, really, although I'd say Van Dijk has more goal threat. But City, clean sheet wise, they look pretty good again. So my watch list from this game, it was Ruben Diaz, Gundogan, Harvey Barnes, Jamie Vardy, Amarte at 4 million and Jack Grealish I'm adding to the watch list as well. So that was my review, really, on the Community Shield. Those players were in my thoughts. We've just revealed our drafts on the main podcast, so have a listen to that if you haven't already, to hear my main thoughts on the draft. There's a few players that aren't quite nailed for me just yet. I need to look at a bit more data. I need to look at a bit more preseason form and maybe plan some transfers for the future, although those plans tend to go out the window. I think it's still good to have a little plan on what you're going to do. I need to have a play about with formation. Injuries and things like that have really kind of put a spanner in the works. You know, I mean, I was pretty set on having DCL in from the start because of Everton's great fixtures, but there's a lot of stuff up in the air about Everton that puts me off. They haven't had a great pre-season. They just lost 4-0 to United. I know we shouldn't take too much notice of pre-season, but Richarlison's been at the Olympics. He's not ready to start. Calvert-Lewin's injured. New manager Rafa Benitez, yeah, proven in the Prem, but Everton fans aren't particularly. I know Rich isn't excited about him at all. Luca Dean is in my team at the moment, but he could easily come out of it. I mean, what was interesting, I had a look on Twitter at Big Man Bakar, his work on pre-season, just fantastic work as always from him. And Dean with Sigurdsson and without Sigurdsson, there's big differences, and he's much better without Sigurdsson. And as we know, Sigurdsson's perhaps not going to start. I think I mentioned this in the other pod as well, so apologies if I'm repeating myself. But that's what kind of makes me think, he's interesting me, but are Everton going to keep clean sheets? You've got to have that as well as that attacking threat. It's perhaps a bit of, you know, nostalgia for Luca Dean that's making me want to pick him. Luke Shaw is by far the better pick, by the way, to start with, if you're trying to choose between the two. But at the moment, both of them are in my team. That might be a decision that I change. As I spoke about as well, I'm looking at rotating pairs. Could save a bit of money by rotating 4.5 million defenders and spending that money elsewhere. But as we've seen, spending that money elsewhere doesn't necessarily get you nailed options. You know, you could bring in Greenwood, you could bring in Jota, you could bring in a Villa midfielder, but they may well get rotated. Danny Ings for me is a great option to start the season with for those first three. I think Watkins hobbled off in their pre-season friendly recently. Ings could get off to a flyer, and you know, then he's one of those players after game week three when Villa's fixtures turn, you can take him out. So those are my thoughts at the moment. West Ham are also in my thoughts. Antonio's in at the moment. I'm also looking at Fornals. It's maybe a little bit of a differential. I know Benrahma's had a lot of interest as well. Plenty to think about ahead of game week one. So hope you've enjoyed it. And yeah, let me know your thoughts on Twitter. If it's something that you're going to be interested in, Triple Captain Extra with me, Luke Jurdy. I may release one more before game week one. We shall see. I'll probably do one more just to reveal my final draft on Thursday evening. So you can expect that then. But yeah, give us a follow. Give us a shout on Twitter if there's any questions you want me to answer before pre-season. And good luck tinkering with those drafts.